Okay, well, hello everybody. This is Jonathan Birrell here on behalf of Sell Bikes, and we've got something special in store for you guys today. I know here in Australia it's coming up to spring. Everybody's starting to think about their health, and we thought it'd be a great opportunity to give you guys a bit of a resource around things you might be able to do to improve your health and improve your performance around your cycling. So today I'm actually interviewing a gentleman by the name of Yuri Elkhain, and Yuri is a leading fitness and sports nutrition expert. He's a certified kinesiologist, a registered holistic nutritionist, and he's also the strength and conditioning coach for the men's and women's soccer programs at the University of Toronto in Canada. He's also a former professional soccer player, having played in both Canada and with one of the top clubs in France. And I don't know how to say this, Yuri. Is it Lille?
Yep, you got it.
Yep, that's it. Great. And also, over the past 13 years, Yuri and his innovative fitness and nutrition programs have actually helped over 47,000 individuals around the world, including amateur athletes from several North American universities and pro athletes from the NHL and MLS. So this is somebody who's definitely worth listening to. So Yuri, thanks so much for taking the time out today to share your knowledge with us, and that just really grateful for it. So thank you
Absolutely.
and welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay. Great. So I guess, introduction aside, I guess, maybe you could share with our listeners, who you are, what your journey's been, what you've learned that you might be able to share with our listeners, just to, given that the purpose of this is to, I guess, we want to reveal some of the hidden truths about food and performance, maybe debunk some of the common myths while we're at it, and really help our listeners get the upper hand in their performance and health, especially without having to spend a fortune on supplements or medications. So over
Yeah,
to you.
definitely. Well, you pretty much summed up my credentials and kind of brief experience with the little intro, so thank you for that. But I'll just kind of go a little bit deeper into some of the reason I'm very passionate about getting this message across is because for my whole life, being a competitive athlete, being a competitive soccer player was really my goal. That was what I loved to do, and from a very, very young age, I always wanted to play professional soccer. And I grew up in my teens, training, playing at the highest level in Canada, and my ultimate goal was to reach the pro level in Europe, and thankfully I was able to do that. But, during my journey, even though I was training and doing things correctly from an exercise perspective, I was really interested in working out, and really improving my performance on and off the field. I really had no clue when it came to nutrition, and so like a lot of athletes and probably a lot of cyclists listen to this as well, I grew up on a very, very westernized diet, if you want to call it that. So a lot of packaged foods, a lot of grains, a lot of dairy, a lot of animal products, not a lot of fruits and vegetables. And I think really the only vegetables that I remember eating were my mom used to make a basic iceberg lettuce salad, and I'm like, well, this is not very appetizing. So not many fruits and vegetables growing up. And what I didn't realize at the time was that it was really hurting my health and my performance, and I didn't really notice this until I was playing professionally in Europe and starting to notice a big difference in my ability to recover. The fact that I was always tired all the time, my performances were starting to kind of, take a bit of a hit. And so what I ended up realizing after having finished playing soccer and going back to school in holistic nutrition is that the foods I was eating were really just depleting the energy out of my body. And as a result, my body was having to work so much harder to be able to maintain its kind of status quo. The same foods that I was eating and the same, kind of abuse that I was putting upon my body, going, from a very young age, also led me to develop an autoimmune condition called alopecia, in which I lost all my hair when I was 17. And so when I was in my last year of high school, you know, within the course of about a few weeks, I went from having long brown hair to having no hair, no eyebrows, no eyelashes, nothing. And that was pretty hard at the time. You know, obviously as a high school student, you know, you're obviously, you know, other people look at you and they look at you a bit like a, almost actually like a chemo patient at that time. And so I didn't realize at the time that the food that I was eating was directly, you know, a very, very strong reason for developing this autoimmune condition. And it was also the same reason that my performances started to suffer in soccer. And so that's why I tell people, you know, you can be fit but not necessarily healthy. And I was a prime example of that. And I think what I've noticed over the last several years of working with, you know, everyday individuals, amateur athletes, professional athletes, is that they're all the same. There's a lot of people, and I'd say over 90% of them, who think that just because they work out, just because they exercise, they can eat whatever they want. And, you know, it's like the Michael Phelps, you know, diet, right? He's, you know, swimming however many kilometers a day and training and winning all these gold medals, but he's consuming 12,000 calories a day, and he doesn't really care about the quality of those nutrients. So he's eating, like, pizza and hamburgers and donuts and pancakes and all kinds of garbage, and it's only a matter of time before that catches up with him. So the message I'm trying to get across, and I hope to get across today, is that, you know, if you're a recreational cyclist or a highly competitive one, the stuff that we're going to talk about is very, very important to put into your own life. Not only will it help your performance, but it'll greatly improve your health.
Fantastic. So, yeah, very sorry. I just sort of lost a little bit of the call there, thanks to my own technical difficulties. But it sounds like, you've covered quite a bit there. And, you know, just in the interest of really continuing with some great content for our listeners, I guess, you know, if we could jump straight into, you know, what should our listeners really know about food and its importance in increasing performance and energy, if you haven't covered that just yet?
Yeah, so the first thing is I really try to educate people to look at food qualitatively, not quantitatively. And that basically means looking at a food from its whole perspective, not breaking it down into protein, carbs, fats, calories, blah, blah, blah. Because when we do that, we tend to take the path where we start to fall into, okay, well, I need more protein, or I need more carbs, or I need to take this supplement because I'm not getting enough, whatever. The big cardinal rule of health is eating whole foods, and the same thing goes for performance. If you eat enough whole foods, if you eat enough variety of whole foods, and by whole foods, I just mainly mean foods that are naturally found in nature, that have not been man-made or processed or any kind of that garbage. So if you're in the grocery store, you know, it's basically in the produce section, you know, I'd say about 80% of it. And if you focus on eating a lot of those kind of foods, you're going to get more than enough carbohydrates, proteins, and fats into your body. So you don't really have to worry about, you know, counting your calories or counting how much protein you're getting in before and after your sessions, you know, workout sessions. All of that stuff is, I think, a very bodybuilder-like approach to looking at your body from a health perspective. And from a performance, it's really, it becomes a big headache. I mean, if anyone's ever weighed their food or counted calories, it's a real pain in the ass. And I don't like to teach people that because it's really not sustainable and it's not a healthy way of looking at food. Instead of, you know, looking at, you know what, I feel like some nutrition, let's have an apple, as opposed to saying, okay, well, I need 20 more grams of protein, so what can I do? Can I, you know, add some whey protein or whatever? It's a very fractionized way of looking at food. So the first thing is really view food as whole food, stick to natural foods, and when you do that and you get a good variety of them, you'll get all the nutrition you need. And studies show this, you know, time and time again. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that there's more to food than calories. And this is where it's, I guess, a little bit tough to kind of communicate this over the phone, but food and all living things have an inherent energy, an inherent life force, if you will. And there's, you know, a very, 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 very small number of people in the world who are able to see this with their own eyes, you know, this kind of aura emanating off living things. But there's a type of photography known as Kirlian photography, which is able to take photographs of living things, and that includes food, and it'll actually show the aura or the energy coming off a particular food, assuming that it's alive. And simply by alive, I mean, for instance, an apple that is, you know, from the tree as opposed to an apple which has been cooked, baked, processed, you know, all that kind of stuff. We can talk about that in a second. But essentially what this Kirlian photograph will show us is the energy coming off this food. And when you compare, for instance, a natural raw food compared to a food that has been cooked, processed, man-made, the energy is, it's almost like looking at a lightning storm emanating off the particular food compared to very, very, very little energy coming off its cooked or man-made counterpart. When you see these images, it's actually very, very startling because these are things that the vast majority of people have never seen. And all they know is looking at food labels and looking at, okay, well, how many calories does this particular food have? And then breaking it down by, you know, carbs, proteins, and fats like we just talked about. And instead of looking at, you know, energy of foods from kind of this inherent energy perspective, we're looking at foods from a calorie perspective. Because when we look at food labels, we see energy equals X number of calories. So we've kind of been led or misled to think about foods in this perspective. So what I really try to encourage individuals is to, you know, even though you can't see the energy coming off a particular food, understand that we are energetic beings. Ultimately, everything we eat is broken down and will be delivered to our cells to produce energy. And at the very, very, very minute level, all of that energy is basically electromagnetic, and we basically communicate, our body communicates via the nervous system with electrical impulses. And all of that can be broken down and really, you know, traced back to the eventual foods or the original foods that we brought into our body. And it's actually interesting because if you look at your hand, for instance, if you look at the skin on your hand, if you look at your nails, if you look at your hair, all of that came from food. All of every single thing, every physical piece of your body originated from food. If you never ate in your life, if you never had breast milk, or if you're never fed from, you know, from the womb, if none of that existed, we would not be here physically. And so it's when you start looking at your body like this, it's like, well, you know, have I been constructed out of good whole foods, or has my body been put together out of pizza and hamburgers and beer and those kind of nutrients? Because you still will get nutrients through those foods, but they're very, very, very different from an energy standpoint and also from a nutrition standpoint in the body. Those are two really important concepts that, again, are new to a lot of people, especially the latter one where we're talking about the inherent energy of foods. And that's it's a very, very powerful thing. And unfortunately, I guess the best way to understand this is really to experience it. And so if you want to have more energy, start eating foods that have higher levels of energy. So it doesn't come in the form of Red Bull or these energy drinks. It comes through the form of eating more natural, living, raw fruits and vegetables. These are plant-based foods that take the sun's energy and turn it into carbohydrates. And that's through a process known as photosynthesis. And when we eat those foods, we take that sun energy and we bring it right into our body. And what's cool about plants is, you know, you notice most plants are green. And the reason for that is there's a pigment called chlorophyll. Chlorophyll has the exact same molecular structure as hemoglobin, which is the molecule in our red blood cells inside our body, which bind oxygen and distribute it to all of our cells. So plants have chlorophyll, we have hemoglobin, they're the exact same molecular structure. The only difference is that plants, the chlorophyll is magnesium-based, where hemoglobin is iron-based. But what's cool is when you eat more plant-based foods, you take this exact same molecular structure, you bring it into your bloodstream, and it's almost like a direct shot of energy. And it's, again, this is kind of very different from what a lot of people have probably learned about nutrition and energy. But what I can tell you is doing this and kind of adding this kind of approach to nutrition will lead to significant differences in how you feel and how you look and how you perform literally by tomorrow. So it's crazy how quickly this stuff can really take effect, and it's a very healthful way of doing so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different sort of context to be coming from, isn't it? I mean, especially,
absolutely.
You know, when you mention, like, we're derived from food, and, you know, it really is a case of, like, what are you feeding yourself, you know, and we kind of live in this I don't know, like this broken down society where we're looking at, you know, one ingredient at a time. I need more of that, like more carbs if I'm carb loading, for example, or more protein if I want to build more muscle. But that's not how we're constructed. So yeah, just really, really fascinating.
And let me jump in one more thing. Like the other thing is that most education comes from advertisements. So, you know, if you watch TV, I don't know how it is in Australia, maybe it's a little bit more progressive, but in Canada and North America, you will never see an advertisement for locally grown produce. You'll never see an ad for broccoli or bananas or apples or anything. It's all about some company developed a product and they're looking to sell it to the market. And those are the commercials that we are forced to watch, you know, for watching TV or even looking at ads in magazines. So always remember that, you know, always think about the source of the information you're receiving and look at things a little bit more critically because, I basically have a saying where you don't eat anything that's advertised on TV. And that's a pretty good rule of thumb that has not failed me to this date. So, you know, if you stuck to that, you'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I'm sorry to say that in Australia, we're not progressive. I haven't seen any ads for local, you know, local produce at all.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, thank you so much for that. I guess, you know, the next thing that I guess would be quite important, I think you've touched on a little bit, but, you know, there are some common myths really surrounding food and performance. And, you know, what are some of those myths and that, you know, how are they not really helping anybody at the moment?
Yeah, I think, there's two big ones I want to talk about. The first one, and this is especially apparent with endurance events like cycling, running, marathons, triathlons, all that kind of stuff. And that is the notion of carb loading and the source of carbs that you're putting in your body. Now, okay, first of all, I should mention that there's nothing wrong with carb loading. It's actually very beneficial if you do it properly. The issue becomes what types of carbs you're loading your muscles with. And again, you know, most people listening to this will have been told or taught or have been exposed to your best sources of carbs are pastas, breads, and grains. And that's literally what my diet was for 24 years of my life. And the problem is that most individuals are sensitive to grains. I'm going to talk about a couple of reasons why we should avoid them. The first reason is most people are sensitive to grains and they don't even know it. The reason for this is because the human digestive tract has not evolved to be able to handle grains properly. And the reason for this is that if you look at our evolutionary timeline, grains came into existence just a couple thousand years ago. And as human beings, we've been on the planet for, I don't even know how long now, maybe hundreds of thousands of years, and we have not evolved at this point. There's actually a study out of Stanford that showed that we have only reached not even 10% of our evolutionary timeline in relation to when grains were introduced into our food supply. So it's going to take a lot more time, centuries, decades, you know, thousands of years, for our bodies to evolve to the point to be able to really digest grains properly. So that's the first, the reason that becomes problematic is that if you have a lot of wheat, a lot of different grains, the problem is that they're very inflammatory in the body. And inflammation is the foundation of all disease. All disease has the hallmark feature of having inflammation at some level. The other problem with eating a lot of grains is that they're very acidic. And when your body is acidic, when your blood is acidic, that, again, is a foundation for disease and poor performance. And really, when you think of performance, I want you to think of health, because being healthy is really about being performant. So when I'm talking about health and performance, they can almost be used interchangeably. So going back to this notion of acidity, I'm just going to give you one example of what happens here. We talked about how hemoglobin in your blood is within your red blood cells, and they carry iron. They carry oxygen, which is bound to the iron. And those red blood cells are like little taxi cabs. They transport the oxygen to your cells for energy purposes. When your blood is acidic, because of an acidic diet, for instance, lots of grains, lots of meat, lots of stuff like that, the blood becomes too acidic, the red blood cells start to clump together through a couple processes that we don't need to go into here. But essentially, the red blood cells start to clump together, almost like a traffic jam during rush hour on a busy expressway. The same thing happens in your blood, where these red blood cells are not able to get to their destination and deliver the oxygen to your cells. So if the red blood cells, and if your blood is moving slowly and lethargically, how do you think we're going to move as individuals, right? Slowly yeah. and lethargically as well. We're not going to be too energetic. So that's one of the issues with the traditional kind of carb-loading approach is the source of carbohydrates. So
sure.
staying away from the gluten-based, right? So gluten is a protein in a lot of these grains, and again, gluten's another thing. You know, a lot of people have gluten sensitivity, and that's a whole big thing with celiac disease, as well as intestinal problems and inflammation in the intestines. So stay away from that stuff. If you need to include grains in your diet, go for the pseudo grains, which are things like quinoa, amaranth, millet, buckwheat. These are all known as pseudo grains because they don't contain gluten, and they're much better for you. I don't know if you guys have those in Australia. I'm sure you must.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I was actually in the grocery store yesterday, and they actually, in the health food aisle, local Coles or Woolworths or wherever our listeners shop, you can actually find these types of grains there.
Yeah, and they're great. I mean, you can make quinoa porridge. Quinoa is a great substitute for rice. It actually has a very high source of, a very high content of protein as well. And again, it's a whole food, so it's very, very good. Looking at moving away from a lot of these, pastas and breads, and people are asking, okay, well, what do I use instead? What do I do instead?
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to focusing on your overall diet, adding a lot of whole foods, plant-based foods primarily into your diet, because again, plant-based foods, fruits and vegetables, will be your best source of carbohydrates. Now, obviously, there are certain ones that have more of a starchy composition than others. So you'll get more carbohydrates from a sweet potato than you will from lettuce, okay? So just, bear that in mind. So if you're looking for great sources of carbohydrates to fuel your performance before and after your workouts or your events, you want to be sticking mainly towards the starchy carbohydrates and fruit. So for the complex, a great supplement or a great replacement, to pasta would be sweet potato. Regular potato, beets, parsnips, carrots, squash, yams, these are fantastic sources of carbohydrates. And the great thing is that they have all these amazing colors, right? These deep oranges, these yellows. And those are very important because every time you see color like that, that indicates some type of phytonutrient which has a lot of benefit for overall health, cancer-fighting properties. And those are just a couple of things to keep in mind, right? When you're looking at colors, colors are very, very, very important for health-promoting purposes. So those are some simple alternatives to the carb-loading question.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Well, I mean, look, you've really covered some great content so far. What's something that our listeners could be doing, right now to improve their energy, their health and their performance, so that they don't have to, learn more about, some of these, great, some of this great information you've brought up. What's something they could action right now, for example?
For sure. So the first thing is, if everything else in your diet stayed the same, so let's just assume you did nothing else in your diet but the following few things. The first thing I would recommend is to add more raw foods into your diet. And by raw foods, I simply mean add more fruits and vegetables into your diet. Doing that alone will make a huge difference on so many levels. You'll be able to recover faster. You'll wake up with more energy. Your muscles, they won't feel as tight and sore all the time because now fruits and vegetables are a very good source of alkalinity, which is the opposite of acidity. So when you bring more alkaline foods into your body, your muscle tissues, your connective tissue become much healthier, so you feel better as a cyclist, as an athlete. So the best way to bring more fruits and vegetables into your diet, and again, I'm someone who's pretty lazy, so I don't like preparing, long, elaborate meals, is add one smoothie or a fresh pressed juice into your day. So if you have a blender, I'm going to give you a really awesome recipe that I, a smoothie recipe that I use pretty much on a daily basis, either on its own or before my workouts, after my workouts. It's all the same. This will give you about a liter and a half worth of green smoothie, and it's awesome. So you're going to take a head of lettuce. The darker the green, the better. So again, look for deep colors. So a head of green lettuce, Boston, romaine, whatever you want. You're going to take one apple, one pear, one banana. You're going to put those into a blender. Take one lime. You can cut it in half. Squeeze the juice into the blender and add water to that. And then you can add a little bit of parsley in as well, because parsley is a great, great herb for iron, protein, and overall alkalinity. So we're looking at lettuce, parsley, one banana, one apple, one pear, and squeezing the lime juice in there to really cut that green, that kind of bland green taste. The citrus is really important. And add water to that. Okay, so you're gonna fill up your, you know, your blender container to the liquid level that, you know, you think would be right. If you want it more runny or less runny, is up to you. Blend it all together. That should give you about a liter and a half, and it's awesome. Pure awesomeness. Great source of carbs. Great source of amino acids. And just, this is actually really important. When you're eating more plant-based foods, people talk about protein. Where do I get my protein from? Well, when you're eating plant-based foods, you're actually getting the kind of building blocks of protein, which are amino acids. So if you have steak, for instance, your body has to now break down a heavily cooked, denatured type of protein in the stomach, and that's very tough for it to do. Then, once it's somehow broken that down, it then has to get processed by the liver, where all those amino acids are then sorted and then put back together into different proteins around the body. Okay, that's what happens if you eat animal protein, or a lot of it. If you eat plants mainly, you're actually getting the individual amino acid elements right into your body. Your body, so it's a lot easier to digest, and it's a lot easier for your body to work with. So you actually get a lot better absorption of amino acids and therefore utilization of proteins in the body. So plant-based foods are huge, guys. Green vegetables, green leafy vegetables, not many people know this. Green leafy vegetables per serving size, okay, per gram, have more amino acids or protein than meat or any animal products that we know of. The only challenge is being able to get enough of those greens. So one of the easiest ways to do that is by making these kind of smoothies, having a fresh pressed juice if you have a juicer, right? Just, you know, juice a bunch of greens, throw in some apple, throw in a carrot, great simple green juice. And the final way to get a lot of fruits and vegetables into your diet is just add a salad to whichever meal, right? It could be lunch, it could be dinner. Just, you know, fill up a big bowl, get some good greens in there, some spinach, some lettuce, whatever types of greens you enjoy, and just look for different colors. Look for lots of colors. You know, add some tomatoes, some red peppers, some yellow peppers, cucumbers, lots of rainbow colors. And regardless of whatever else you're eating with that, you're going to balance out that food with some incredible alkalinity through these plant-based foods. So those are three simple ways that you can get some raw foods. And the reason for eating more raw foods, first of all, is that you're getting much better nutrient density of these foods. So the vitamins and minerals are not lost through the cooking process. You get much greater, far greater amounts of food enzymes, which are, again, killed in the cooking process. When you heat foods, you lose the natural food enzymes, and that's that kind of life force, that energy that we talked about earlier. And your body now has to work a lot harder to digest these foods. So if you can add more raw foods in, more raw plant-based foods, fruits and vegetables into your diet, you can get better nutrient density, more food enzymes, which allows your body to spend its energy on other things other than digestion, and you're also getting far greater amounts of water and alkalinity, which are really, really critical for your health and your performance.
Oh, that's fantastic. And yeah, thank you for that that little smoothie recipe there as well. That sounds delicious, actually.
It is awesome.
Yeah, unreal. All right, excellent. Well, I'll bring it to this interview to a close, just because, you know, I'm having some internet or connection issues here. I don't want it to drop out. So, look, Yuri, thank you so much for spending the time to share just such a wealth of knowledge with our listeners.
Absolutely.
And we've actually, you're the creator of a product that really goes into the depth around this called eating for energy for athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've really just, you know, covered the tip of the iceberg here. Just for our listeners, we've actually, you know, sorted out a bit of a special around Yuri's product for anyone that may be interested. At the bottom of the interview, we'll actually have a link here for you to be able to check it out. But Yuri, why don't you tell us a little bit about that product and what our listeners can expect to get out of that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for bringing that up. Eating for Energy for Athletes is a program that I put together as I was transitioning away from professional soccer to kind of everyday life and the experiences that I went through that transformed my health. What I forgot to mention at the beginning of the call is that even though I lost all my hair when I was 17, I basically regrew all of it back within about 2 months following the principles that I teach people in Eating for Energy. And so a lot of the stuff we've talked about in this call, alkalinity, the power of raw foods, life force, all of this stuff and much more is really, it kind of forms the foundation of the program. And it's very different from every other sports nutrition textbook or magazine or whatever you've ever read. I guarantee that, because the principles you're going to learn are not only for performance but for health. So it's a 360-page nutrition Bible. It's really everything that you need as an athlete and as an individual looking to improve your health. So the first half of the book is the science, right? The reason behind what we're doing. The second half of the program is the how-to, where I literally walk you step by step through transitioning to adding more raw alkalizing foods into your diet. And again, you don't have to become a raw foodist. I'm not a raw foodist, but it's about incorporating more of these foods into your diet so that you can become a more performance and healthy individual. So that's the second half of the program. It also includes a 12-week meal plan, so you know exactly what to eat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, as well as snacks. And that meal plan is based around the 120 raw recipes that we've included in the program. And the reason that all of the recipes are raw is that, you know, the goal is not necessarily to make you 100% raw, but you can if you want to be. But the idea is for you to be able to have a lot of choice and a lot of selection to be able to choose from. So, for instance, on any given day, if you wanted to just have, you know, one of the raw cereals for breakfast, then you can do that and keep everything else, you know, based on your current diet the same. And as you feel more comfortable to add certain foods in, all the recipes are there, the meal plan is there to support you, and it's really, really straightforward. The most important thing I find about the recipes is that they take less than 10 minutes to prepare, and they only require a knife, which or a food processor or a blender, okay? So there's no special dehydrators or crazy equipment, and it doesn't take 24 to 48 hours like a lot of raw food recipes do. They're all based on fresh ingredients, simple preparation, and for me, that's huge because I'm very lazy, but I really enjoy the taste of food as well. So the recipes are delicious, and they take very little time to make. Within that recipe guide, we also give you about 46 smoothie and juice recipes. So, for instance, one of the ones that I just shared with you is actually not even in the program, but you'll get tons of other recipes that are similar and even better than that smoothie in there as well. And we also have included four bonuses that we've just added to the program. One of them is an interview I did with a friend of mine who was a professional, he was a former professional tennis player, and he was a top 100 tennis player. And in that interview, we talk about the diet and exercise secrets of pro tennis players. So we're talking about guys like Nadal and Federer and all these guys, Djokovic, and looking at what it is that they're doing to stay at the top of their game. And again, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a tennis player, a soccer player, a cyclist. These are principles that apply across the board, so you'll learn a lot from it. We also have an interview with my personal yoga mentor where we talk about the power of yoga. And especially for cycling, this is really important because cyclists are always kind of bent over their handlebars, get tight hip flexors. A lot of those muscles get really tight. So in this interview, we go into depth about how yoga can be very beneficial and really the importance of flexibility and stretching. I also interviewed Dr. Joanne Dalkowetter, who is a sports psychologist with the U.S. Olympic team. And in this interview, she reveals several mindset tricks that Olympic athletes use to reach the podium. So that's awesome. There's some really, really cool stuff in there. And then finally, we have a nutrition for athletes quick start guide, which is what to eat before, during, and after your workouts, your cycling events, your endurance type of workouts, and so you'll know exactly what to eat. We actually give you recipes for gels, puddings, natural sports drinks. These are all things that are very, very natural that you can make in 2 to 3 minutes, and they don't have all the chemicals and dyes that all those sports drinks and weird packaged power bars do. So all of that is included. And regularly, the program sells for $97, but for the listeners listening to this interview, we've arranged a very special $50 discount, so you can get the whole thing for just $47.
That's fantastic. And you really want to thank you for making that available. It's a very, very generous offer. And I myself, as someone who's, you know, had a look at the program, and I have to say, just so thorough, but simple as well. You know, those recipes are just exceptional. And they really are, you know, you can prepare them very quickly, and it doesn't require much effort at all. But, you know, just the benefit from that is just absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, and maybe I should just add what, like, you know, what people can expect. Just talking about the benefits is really a dramatic improvement in energy. This is all day energy. It's not the type of energy that you get after an espresso, but it's sustained energy. Very important for endurance events and just, you know, living every single day, being more productive. You'll probably wake up earlier. You'll feel better. You'll feel lighter. You'll feel more mentally clear. Your body will recover quicker from your cycling sessions, from your workouts, from your day-to-day activities, because now your tissues are healthier, your blood is healthier. All of that combined allows you to recover quicker, so you're not wasting time on the massage table or always, you know, stiff and sore. And really, those are the big benefits. And I mean, the really underlying benefit is obviously improved health, right? So if, you know, even if you don't want to lose weight, the benefit of having greater health is massive. So like I mentioned before, whether we're talking about performance, we're really talking about health because, you know, if you're a desk jockey or a professional cyclist, you want to be more performant at your, you know, particular job. It's really all of that and a lot more.
Yeah. Oh, just fantastic. Wonderful. Well, Yuri, thank you again so much. And as I mentioned, there will be a link at the bottom of this interview, and this is a limited time offer. So I think that link's only going to be live for, you know, a couple of days. Highly, highly recommend you check it out. Just a wonderful, wonderful program, and the benefits really do speak for themselves. And, you know, waking up early, that is a big one, actually. I've noticed I don't need to sleep as much. You know, I feel more rested and more alive when I'm, you know, following these recipes. So, deeply grateful for the time you're spending today, just informing our listeners on some of the things they can be doing around improving their health. So thanks again.
It's been a pleasure. You're welcome.
Wonderful. All right. Thanks, Yuri.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye.